everybody. Wake up, it's time for Stoner Morning Show. Sit back, relax, smoke them if you got them. And now, Stoner Morning Show.
Hey, guess what, everybody? Stoner Morning Time. It's evening time, and it's morning, it's Stoner Morning. Oh, yeah. I'm Ralph. That's Jason singing, and then also Sean.
This is Sean, yep. Excited to be here.
So, what have you guys been doing lately?
Well, we have a guest who might be showing up. That's exciting. We have a guest who might show up. So I've been excited about this guest who might show up, who's a Las Vegas comedian, and he does psychedelic stand-up shows where the performers takes out its psychedelics and then perform. But we'll see if he joins us while we're hanging out.
I had a layover in Vegas for 24 hours, and I had to take a test there. And I took the test, and then I went and seen a bunch of, like, magic shows. This is before, like, Vegas was okay to smoke and smoke pot and everything there. Otherwise, I would have did that.
What was the test at stake?
Yeah, was the test magic related?
No, it was a hazmat test for a company that I was working for.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you fail, do you die?
No.
The test is like hazardous materials, and it's like, oh, you touched the plutonium. you failed, and you're gonna die.
My instructor looks like the Doc from Back to the Future.
Oh, wow.
That's a very untrustworthy look.
Yeah. Why was the test in Vegas?
That was the only place they were offering it. So they said, okay, we're going to send you to Vegas for 48 hours. And I had like one day to do the test, and it was an open book test. So how could I fail, right? I didn't fail.
Nice.
Yeah.
Las Vegas, Nevada, hazmat capital of the world.
Yeah. Nope.
I guess.
That's it.
Damn. So you had to like, they couldn't at least like, was the test like early in the day, the first day?
So the first day flew in. I checked in. I flew in really early. I checked in and I went to the class. And then, you know, it was just like a review of the book that they gave us. And they basically, you know, reviewed the whole book of like all the different laws and everything, you know, for shipping. And then after that, the next day was a test early in the morning, and it was only like maybe an hour or two. I got that out of the way, and then after that, I just went to magic shows.
I want to welcome our first guest of the episode. This guy over here who went to Vegas for a hazmat test. If you're listening and you have any questions for this guy about magic or hazardous materials, you can email him at the Stoner Morning Show.
Yeah.
What was the magic you saw? Is that Ralph? Did you ask that? Were you about to ask?
I went and seen fucking David Copperfield, man.
No way.
I seen him pull like Corvettes out of his ass and like all that.
The
stuff
fucking
was awesome.
The fucking king of magic.
Hell yeah. It was so good. I went to the show twice.
What?
Yes. It was an hour and a half show, and I was like, I had nothing else to do, and my company was paying for everything, so.
Wait, Jason, you were wowed by magic tricks so much.
Oh, yeah.
You were like, I got to see these magic tricks a second time.
I still believe it's real. It's all real.
You think it's real?
I'm a sucker for magic.
Wow. You should learn some magic tricks.
Oh, yeah.
Right? I don't know. I'm not that coordinated. I'm always stoned.
Mm.
Is any part of you scared that if you learn them, it'll debunk it for you and you can't believe anymore?
It happened that one with the towel. And then I learned that it's like this like little monofilament that's attached to it. And you're like, oh.
What's the towel trick?
You make it like float around and look like it's floating and everything.
Hmm.
That's not a real, that's a gimme. Like they that trick is really has like tricks to it with the monofilament, and they do that to throw you off the scent to make you think that everything's fake,
right? I was such a sucker for it as a kid, and then like once I learned it was on a piece of string, I was just like, what, this sucks.
Yeah, they tell you that one trick but like the other tricks are actual magic.
Yeah, I know. This is what we tell the suckers.
Oh, hey, I think our guest is about to join. Tom Baum. Tom, are you there? You know, it's funny, like, I saw that he was trying to dial in, and then I was just like, oh, wow, this is the guy who's in Vegas. And I was like, how did we even get talking about Vegas? But we purposefully talked about Vegas.
Yeah.
This is our guest, Tom.
Hey, yeah.
Hey, what's up?
Hey,
Tom.
Most difficult Zoom call I've ever been on. Do you guys smoke on air or during the podcast? Or
absolutely, I'm stoned now.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine being on a podcast and you're the guest, that you become the co-host immediately.
that sounds like a good.
Yeah, we might turn this show into some sort of like handoff relay thing where it's just like, all right, well, I'm out. And somebody else is.
Yeah.
Someone else has my seat.
Tom, but first I want to admit that I tried to turn up the volume of my phone by turning up the volume of my computer.
That's like when you're looking for your phone and shit, and you're like on Instagram, and you're like, "Where is it? Oh, it's right here."
Yeah. Tom, I hear that you do a psychedelic comedy show.
Yes, I run a psychedelic show in Vegas where we all meet up. All the comedians meet up about an hour before showtime, and we all drop either LSD or take mushrooms or 2CB or ketamine or whatever we have available to us, whatever I provide, really. And then we perform stand-up comedy. We all do our sets or attempt to. It's great. It's magic. It's like my favorite show to do. It's one of the dopest shows in Vegas. One of the only two shows in Vegas happening right now, still a live show. And it's like catching lightning. I get to catch lightning in a bottle every month. Sometimes the audience is tripping or members of the audience, whatever. That's up to them. It's a great experience. And for anybody who's attended or hears about it, is very intrigued and in awe.
Is there a freak out every show?
No.
Yeah, that's like, cool.
Like a mess up, or like somebody forgets a joke. You know, it's like,
oh yeah,
drugs and shit. But there's never been like a crazy freak out. I had somebody who couldn't perform one time, but luckily I had another comedian who wanted to be on the show who just came and took acid before, and I didn't tell him. I was like, nah, man, the show's full. It's booked out. Don't worry about it. And then this comic was like, you know, this is too much. But they didn't go on stage yet. So I was like, that's fine. You know, go home. You get a free hit of acid, whatever. and then I was like, I told the audience, I was like, okay, I'm going to do something I've never done before. You know, I'm going to bring up this comedian who didn't think they were going to be on the show. They wanted to be on the show, but I told them no. And, I could see the comedian. He was sitting in the back and his stomach just sank. He was like, and then I brought him up and, you know, he didn't have a set prepared or anything like that, but it was great. It was fantastic. It went over fantastically.
Welcome for taking acid just in case.
Yeah. Let's see. Last July, I did LSD every Saturday, just to complete the quadfecta or whatever. Because it was like July 4th, and I was like, hell yeah, America, right? Why wouldn't you? and then the next Saturday was July 11th when the UFC had like 3 championship fights in Dubai. So I was like, all right, I'll do it for that. And then the third week was my show. So obviously, gotta do it. Saturday. I went camping up in California and just got away and did mushrooms and acid. It was fantabulous.
Nice.
Hey, Tom, Sean here from New York City. Next question: has anybody not been invited back? Or you know what I mean? Like, I don't think you're going to be coming to the perform to the show again. No offense.
No,
you know what I mean?
No, I had an issue with a guy who was who I booked, and then he was saying some real funky shit on Facebook that I didn't like, and I was like, am I going to have to pull this guy from the show? And then he was like, oh, my car broke down. I can't make it. So,
the universe answered.
No, I've never had to have somebody on and they messed up so bad that I wouldn't bring him back. I've seen him do really well. And then I had him on again and then he didn't do so well. But he's my homie and I would still have him back. It wasn't like he messed up so bad that I would never have him back.
Well,
yeah, no, that hasn't happened. I'm pretty, I mean, this is, I'll be honest, this isn't the easiest show to book by any means.
we'll wrangle a bunch of people on acid and fucking shrooms.
Yeah. I will say that I handle it pretty fucking well. I'm pretty professional as far as it can be when it comes to booking and throwing a show and hosting a show, because I'm the producer. I do, you know, I wear a lot of hats. But yeah, I love it. It's amazing. I have about 25 to 30 people who come back every month, like the same people who are like, I have to see this show. I have to be there. It's amazing because it's always different comedians.
So every month you have 30 more people than you did the previous month?
No. 30 of returning customers, about who like fuck with the show so heavily that they have to be there and they'll come back.
Oh yeah,
nice.
So like followers, basically.
You have 30 lifers.
30 lifers, yeah. And then
yeah,
like my last show was a sellout. You know, and it was the first time I ever sold it out. There was over 55 people there. So,
oh wow, nice.
Yeah, it was dope. And I just plan on keep growing because this idea is so, and I think Vegas is the perfect place to launch it. So I've been doing it for just over a year now. I've brought it to Knoxville, Tennessee once, and I'm just looking for, because you know there's different spots in the country that are decriminalizing it now, like Oakland, Santa Cruz, and Denver. I know New York is talking about it, Washington, D.C., Oregon, and Washington State. So those are all potential places.
Wow. I didn't know about all those places decriminalizing psychedelics. Jason, did you know about that? I feel like you're our sort of resident expert on like...
Yeah.
topical events. You did know. Okay. Well, what's on the horizon, Jason? Where's it going to happen next?
Where's it going to happen? New York, hopefully.
Yeah, I think New York and D.C. are next to being closest to getting some type of decriminalization or, you know, whatever they got to do.
Hey, what's up? This is JQ from Stoner Morning Show. This summer, we're raising money for the Brooklyn Bail Fund. You'll find the link to the fundraiser at stonermorningshow.com. The Brooklyn Bail Fund is a great organization dedicated to challenging racism and injustices in our unjust criminal legal system. Donate what you can at stonermorningshow.com. 100% of the money raised goes to the Brooklyn Bail Fund. Or you could share the link with interested friends, neighbors, and family members. That's stonermorningshow.com.
I feel like you're an expert, Tom, on psychedelic comedy. What, besides taking psychedelics, what else characterizes psychedelic comedy?
That's a great question.
it's that holy shit moment. It's how far you can go or riff or how far your mind can expand on psychedelics in front of a bunch of strangers and how hard you can get them to laugh. It's there's so many different components that they're all very important. Each person's different, and I think it's up to them to find out, you know, either to set their intentions on what they want to do with the audience or their comedy or their set as a whole, and whether they can bring it to life or not, and see how it blossoms in front of everybody.
I feel like for the first time, it never occurred to me that there could be additional resonances or meanings of the term holy shit.
Yeah. Holy shit moments at the psychedelic show.
How do people find this? What do we look up?
The psychedelic show is, it's, by the way, show is spelled P-S-H-Y-O. Facebook and Instagram under that name. It's psychedelic P-S-H-Y-O. Facebook and Instagram. Yeah.
Got it. Have you had an audience member show up for one of these shows and been like, I got to do drugs or try comedy?
Yeah, I had one guy hit me up and, he like plays guitar. So I don't know how involved he is or was ever in comedy, but, he wanted to do the show and do like a few comedic guitar songs. And I was like, come to the show first, you know, buy a ticket, check it out, support the show and
right.
talk. And I had him do a little audition outside after the show with the people who were still there. And he was good enough, and I gave him a shot, and he came to the show last month and took mushrooms and did like three songs to open up the show. And I had never had like a musical, like anybody who I didn't know or was properly vetted on the show.
Yeah.
But I took a chance and I had him on, and it went fine.
Yeah.
Jason, you love shrooms. What do you want to know about?
What is there a certain dosage that people take, or is it whatever people want to take?
I kind of prided myself very recently at dosing people properly with mushrooms, because a couple of weeks ago I went to Gunlock, Utah, and I need quarantine was finally like getting to me, my head, because I've been like essentially working, whatever you want to call it. So I didn't really get the quarantine. I didn't get all that time off.
Yeah.
Like right before we opened back up, like my mental, like 3 days, I was like really fucked up. So I was like, I need to get away. So we went to this really nice place, like with cliff jumping and all this stuff like that. And I myself took like 2 grams, and I was like, this is perfect for me. I was like, this mm-hmm. is my weight, body type, everything. 2 grams is where what I need to take to go where I need to go. So I was like happy. I like finally found out my dosage, because I thought you had to take an 8 every time. Like, nope, you get an 8. That's not the case. It's different for every person. But I had a couple female comedians come out from Sacramento to do my show, because I started doing comedy in Sac before moving to Vegas. So a couple female friends came out to do the show, and one of them's very like petite, skinny. So I gave her 1.5 grams. And I was like, this will be good for you. And the other one was a little bigger than her. So I gave her 2 grams, and they were both like, this is perfect. Like, it's not too much. It's not too little. So I feel like I've gotten the dosage pretty good for even not people who are myself.
You nailed it.
2.5 seems to be my sweet spot, too.
Oh, this guy's a 2.5 grammer.
How much do you weigh, and how tall are you?
I'm like 6'2", 275.
Oh yeah, that makes sense then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. This whole interview sparked because I think the first time ever I talked to you know Robbie Aces, so the first time I ever talked to him on air, I was tripping out. But I was microdosing though, so I was doing that, talking to him on air and doing that whole variety show that we were doing.
So, Mr. 2.5 grams, how much do you do when you microdose, Mr. 2.5 grams?
Like, not even, like, 12, I forgot.
Grams?
12, no, not 12 grams. That's way too much.
Yeah, that's a macro dose.
Yeah, that's a hero dose.
Yeah.
No, I just take, like, I'll take, like, a cap, or if I have any Borts, I'll take Borts.
Uh-huh.
Eat one of those.
I actually am I'm a teetotaler. I don't indulge in any drugs at all. If I came to one of your shows and everyone around me was dosed, and all the performers were dosed, how close would I get to being high and tripping?
If It depends. There's a lot of different factors in this question, and I will answer it accordingly. if you came to my show not on anything, and the whole audience was tripping on mushrooms, how close would you get to tripping, actually tripping? Is that the question?
Yeah.
It would be like you wouldn't actually feel it, but you would get the laughing part of it, and you would get like the mood and the tone, and you would feel it a little bit, but not so much as if you ingested it, but you would feel like the auras of other people. And your laughter would be more so than usual. If everybody was on LSD,
I even want to just see that show. I want to see the show of Ralph,
right?
Watching a bunch of people on shrooms.
Oh my God!
Trying to get high just from everybody around me being really high.
Yeah.
The only way that would really happen to where you would trip is if everybody was at the show on LSD, and then say a chick just put a tab on her tongue and then made out with you for a little while, but kept the tab on her tongue, then you might trip a little bit. But that's really the only way that you could come to my show sober and still trip.
I don't know. Ralph's pretty good at picking up good vibes, so he's a good vibe picker. So.
Yeah, he's a good vibe magnet.
When I was up in Dunlop and I took those mushrooms, my girl drove and I started, I got into this character that I just made up on the spot, and I started going, and I had her laughing so hard that it was like she was on mushrooms, because like I make her laugh and stuff like that, but I had her fucking rolling, and like, I've seen people laugh on mushrooms and it was very similar. It was like almost like exactly the same thing. So it was like she felt my energy.
Ooh.
Tom, do you have a favorite strain of mushrooms?
Probably penis envy. I don't know enough to really have a favorite, but I know that I fuck with that one heavily, and it's a very good one.
Yeah.
I don't think I even knew any names of strains at all.
There's a lot of different strains of mushrooms.
Penis envy, golden teacher. These strains.
There's like a McKinnis strain.
My life's mission is not to not do drugs the rest of my life, but to try to get myself high without actually physically taking any of them. That I think is what I'm trying.
Isn't that like a Buddhist philosophy or one of those?
That would have to come through some sort of meditation.
Yeah,
it's possible.
Aren't there Buddhas or something like that?
Yeah, I've gotten high off like meditation and yoga and stuff like that.
Oh, there you go.
Buddha is so much as a Buddhist.
Hey, Tom, I
tell you which hallucinogens can reveal big truths.
Okay.
Mescaline. That opens up the heart, and it almost acts as like a somewhat of a truth serum. You have a heavy heart about something, and you're feeling something like very heavy that you need to get off your chest. It will come out of your mouth, even if you just blurt it and you don't want to. It's coming out regardless.
Well, thanks for sharing your experiences with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. This has been very fun. You guys are dope.
Well, we try. It's mostly, it might not be us. Maybe it's what we've been taking. I don't know. But thank you. All right, Tom Baum with the Psychedelic Show, right? And it's spelled differently. Is that right?
Yes, PSHYO, Psychedelic Show on Facebook, on Instagram. The next show is the 15th. It's going to be here in Vegas. So if anybody's listening or has friends and family in Vegas, or that will be in Vegas, and please tell them to look up the show. And when you guys don't have that dumbass lockdown in New York, that quarantine for 2 week bullshit, I would love to come out and meet all you guys, and even to do like if we could set up like a house show or something intimate. I don't even care. I want to bring the show out to New York for sure. That's a goal I've had for a long time. So whether it be at a venue or, you know, something underground, like a 90s rave, I don't care. I'll come out there. Hell yeah.
I got a question before you go. Do you know a guy named Troy Hurd?
Nope.
He's a guy I know in Vegas.
Possibilities are endless.
That's right.
Mind blown.
This has been another excellent episode of Stoner Morning Show. Thanks for listening. Follow us on social media at Stoner Morning Show. Tell your friends. And puff puff pass.